territory. And this is the basic thing for Epcot. There's going to be a permanent World's Fair here at the center. There'll be a Future World on one side. There'll be a college in here somewhere, university, and then facilities for people to live. And so at the center of Spaceship Earth, I'm going to in charge of that, doing the concepts for it.
Is this all drained swamp land?
Yeah, So we're improving the landscape rather than polluting it, We're using solar energy. We'll be using hydrogen energy, hopefully. We're doing everything right. Everything is beautifully controlled. And I'm working with nice people. I've got to have a fight. I've been here a year. 2 or 3 days a week, working with people who worked on Fantasia, et cetera, et cetera.
What's the schedule call for?
Well, it depends on how soon we get all the money together. As you can see, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. And the section I'll be working on in the center there, God knows what, 30, 40, 50 million.
When you say concepts, you're sort of there at bedrock, right?
Yeah, I have to make the basic scenario, which describes thematically, it tells a story, and then work out the three-dimensional objects, the robots, the audio animatronic robots, the paintings, the dialogue, the music, the whole thing has to be on paper first. Then they begin to do paintings, of course, based on what I have conceptualized, and sculptures, and even larger paintings here. So let me show you this scale model over here. We have various models we've been working with. And we bring the audience into a theater. It's a triple theater. Theater of the deep past, moving toward a history theater here, from the deep past up into the present here, and the future blasting up into space. And what we do here is put the audience in these pods and sink them down through the levels of time so that all the architectures of the past at various levels we see as we sink down into the grave, as it were. And we take all the architectures apart, put them back in the mountains again, take the pyramids apart and put them back in the ground. And
like being in a time machine where you see everything building down and building up.
And I use the basic metaphor of the 47 cities of Troy, which I happened across in reading about Schliemann a couple of years ago. That Schliemann, when he went hunting for Homer's Troy, and everyone told him he was nuts, of course it doesn't exist, found 10 Troys, each at a different level beneath each other, and each less sophisticated. And after he left, the 37 or 38 other Troys were discovered by other archaeologists. So all in all, there's somewhere between 45 and 50 Troys, all down into the dust. So you start with the most sophisticated one, you go down through the levels, and you reach bedrock where Earth is created out of the sun, and then you explode the whole thing forward with the dinosaurs along, and you travel these pods along through time, rebuild the pyramids, draw on the walls, do the caveman and everything, then move along through Ben Franklin, through the Renaissance, and as you pass into the Renaissance, Michelangelo reaches up and paints the whole Sistine ceiling for you right overhead as you pass. So we can do this with audio animatronic robots. We can build a Boy David for you on the spot in 2 minutes or less, and bring them right out of the rock in front of you in three dimensions. And move along, proving our methods of communicating and surviving through time to here. We blast the audience up into space and we suspend you then over Earth and ask the questions, what must we do? How can we do it? What is our future? We're going off out to Alpha Centauri eventually. This is our seed bed here. And before we leave, we have to clean the air and unpollute the seas and pat the dolphins on the head and save the whales and do everything. That's the exciting thing. Do everything. It doesn't depress me at all because I know we can do it. It takes imagination and will, that's all. And if you have a failure of imagination and will, you're sunk regardless of where you're living. The tribes, this is Toynbee's old thing, tribes in the South Seas that didn't respond to the challenge and vanished, and other people took their place. So we have to respond well, and that's tremendously exciting. So we're going to go up in space, and then when you finish this whole journey into the past, along into the present, into the future, you then challenge each individual in the audience with a Da Vinci figurine like this one here, spiraling with force coming out of all of his fingers. You can point at people in the audience and take a person's face and then fix it on the ceiling, huh? Mm. And you can take every face in the audience and put them all in the ceilings around you, and then spin that in a centrifuge, send the faces out the doors, and then say to the people, all right, out!
Yeah.
And make that future. Each of you. Like that. I would make you responsible. Go get them. And then you open all the doors and send them out into the city. Huh? Isn't that great? Goddamn.
And
this you keep your imagination
these,
out of control.
These basic,
it's wild.
These basic conceptions now, that's what you're
doing. Those are all mine. I conceived the whole thing. And now they have to build it.
Mm-hmm. And I like the business about going down, moving, mm-hmm. and coming back up again.
Right.
When do they think they'll go to the banks? Or
well, we've had the IBM people, mainly corporations. That's where the creativity
is.
It's
corporations rather than B of A or somebody.
Yeah.
Well, that's
better because IBM is so future oriented and full of science fiction people. You wouldn't believe. I have gone to 3 IBM meetings in the last 3 months and I've talked. And they put on films first that they've made for their own people. They're all science fiction films.
Yeah.
You know, all wonderful technologies, and they care about Asimov and Clark.
Yeah.
And naturally, I'm spoiled by this, huh?
Sure.
Because I've been used to being neglected most of my life by people saying, oh, come on, what's that all about? Huh? So they're building fabulous machines and good machines that can help us. And very little crap there and very little corporate thinking that I've seen, I suppose it occurs.
It's probably a reaction to the way IBM was run for so many years with the IBM songbooks and the white shirts that they would measure the length of the tails on and everything else.
You don't imagine that's true anymore, do you?
Oh, no, I feel like it's probably a reaction to all that.
Yeah, sure.
For a while, it was
I've met so many people now, and I know how they react to me. I've had standing ovations everywhere I've been, because I don't hand out any horseshit.
Huh? Yeah.
I could speak at commencements to kids. I was down at Long Beach University a week ago.
I used to teach
that. And I got a standing ovation from the kids because I say, right off at the start, no crap today. No crap. Everything's based on verifiable facts and how I interpret them. You may not like my interpretation, but the facts are Andrew Carnegie, a corporate man, but an individual madman, revolutionist, provided the world with all its libraries. That's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Entrusted us to use them, huh? Yeah. With the information there. That's great. Lenin and Trotsky and Marx never did this, but one corporate man who's supposed to be a robber baron did this for all of us, so I could be educated because I never went to college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Carnegie Library graduate, huh? So I'm beholden to that man. So, anyway.
Yeah, I remember your talk a couple of months ago at the University of Redlands.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I teach.
Sure.
You had half the population at chapel, if you remember.
That's right. Yeah.
All the kids came home from high school. It was flooded the place.
Well,
it was very.
First of all, I got to tell people what to do, and some of the ways of doing it, and get all the doomsters out of the way. Tell them to go kill themselves because we don't need them. If you're a pessimist, that means you'll never do anything, so you can't cure anything.
Mm-hmm.
At least an optimist can do things.
Sure.
They may fail. And we all have to grow old and get sick and die. Hell, I'm not optimistic about that. But along the way, I sure as hell I'm going to try to do something. Huh? And maybe I'm a fool, but that's all right. Call me that, then get out of the way.
Right.
Now let me take
Aren't
you out.
Beautiful?
Oh, yeah, it's just terrific stuff.
Do you have any contact with the artists who do
Oh, sure, yeah. And this guy here is an Italian. He did all four of those big ones. And
that's better stuff than you see in most fantasy publications.
Oh,
today.
Sure, yeah. And I'll take
Some
you out.
Star Wars.
Sure. Saw it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Were you there on? Today is Friday. I was there
Wednesday.
We were Wednesday.
In
Westwood. Oh, I was in Grommets.
Did you have to wait for it?
No, I was lucky. I got there just the right time. You know, again, there's no screenplay though. God damn, I get so mad.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear half the dialogue. How was the soundtrack in yesterday?
Much better. That's why I wanted to go to the Westwood.
Yeah, I couldn't understand.
Sounds much better than the Grommets.
But even what I heard, I didn't. The villains didn't prove themselves.
Yeah.
They didn't have their moment of
that's
truth
true.
Telling
and
you
yeah,
what their villainy
true.
Was.
They don't finish. The resolution isn't there at the end either. With
and
him
how
just
can you hate unless
space.
You know?
Yeah.
Or how can you. First of all, we want to sympathize with the villain because each of us has the capacity to be a villain if we just turn that extra corner.
Yeah.
So the Bond films are great because the villains tell you who they are. Mm. You know? And you say, I like him. I like Gert Frobe. I hate him, but I like him. Mm. Conrad Veidt, the same way in the old films. So Star Wars is a triumph of technical stuff over
They went with appearance,
emptiness.
I think.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be enough to keep you alienated from those figures.
Even Flash Gordon in the comic strip days had more motivation.
Yeah. The characters that are the most beloved with the audience are machines. It's like HAL 2000.
That's right.
And I can't quite accept that sometimes.
No.
Why should we find more humanity in a machine than we can?
Well, we can put it in a machine, but by all means, then have it surrounded by other people.
Why do the living characters come out flat and the machines
Because
come out
most people nowadays don't know how to write screenplays. They are not educated in the short story. They're not educated in the novel. Mm-hmm. They're not educated in the film. I'm completely film-oriented. I've seen every damn film ever made.
I know you have.
So I'm not a Johnny-come-lately, huh? And I know exactly why certain films work the way they do. Yeah. I've studied them. I've seen, you know, Lawrence of Arabia 12 times and Bridge on the River Kwai 8 times. And you go back and say, hey, how do you do
that? That's right. You're a big Lean fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Boy. Except the last one.
Yeah.
And that has a great score.
And Mark Mitchell's score. Yeah. I'll take you out to the shop.
Okay.
There's a lot of our mutual friends working on that film.
Huh?
I saw a few other names. Science fiction freaks.
My goodness. I believe so. This is all separate from the main studio, isn't it?
Yeah, this is where they conceptualize and blueprint everything that goes into Disney World, Disneyland.
You're
going to
be able to sell it.
Huge mock-ups of the Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
Great.
Bits and pieces of oceanography.
Oh, that's great.
It's the end point of a Omnimover type ride, like in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
It'll just burst you into this undersea complex, and from there you radiate into the merchandising and participants where you get all our money.
Oh, you've got to get it somewhere.
Yeah.
But, oh, that's rough.
It's a ways to go, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. They're working on bits and pieces of leather. Let's see here.
Most of the shell is here.
Okay.
Leather.
Oh yeah, they've got. See, this is when you go down through the levels.
Yeah.
You wind up. Here's the Stone Age thing here. Mm-hmm. And you come out into these temples. Rebuild everything again.
The spirals here, and we'll see if you got
it. Mm-hmm. And you wind up. Going through your time. Here's the modern architecture, and then you got a spaceship here. Mm-hmm. It's really shaping up fine. God.
I kind of miss the spaceships with the fins.
Well, I do
and
too.
The pointed noses. You know.
They're clumsy, aren't they? What the hell?
Space, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Well, here's another wall over here. See? It's going to fit in. Isn't that great? And here's a huge chunk of the wall, a large size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piece by piece.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it's kind of a jigsaw puzzle.
I hope I'm alive when we're making it. It's going to be about 10 years from now.
I suppose, really.
Get all the money together, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's say 6 and lie low. Nice. Well.
It's like a giant idea factory, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. See, here's some more here, and then here's some more pieces here. Part of the spiral going down in time.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Huh? Here's some more here. Yeah. It all fits together, and you move down through the levels of civilizations.
Telephone, please, that?
Great thing is, you turn in material here at night, the next day you come back and there are three watercolors waiting for you on what you thought the day before. That is so exciting.
Sure.
It really is a reward every day.
Yeah.
And I come through, if I just stay away for 3 days, come back, they got a whole new chunk of this
done. It's like in the Veldt when the children think their shapes onto those screens.
Mm-hmm.
You think your shapes and they come out, you get back the drawings
right.
Just next day.
Right.
It's waiting 2 years for the movie to come out.
Yeah.
Could make a film on this.
Well, we may tie in with, they're planning a space film over at the studio. I don't know where that is, though. I haven't seen the script. And we'll just see. All right, I'll take you over in the sculpting section.
There's no real training for something like this. People just come in and have at it, I suppose.
Well, a lot of them come from colleges where they've had a preliminary thing. And most of us have grown up doing something like this in our parlors, haven't we? When I used to get sick when I was 10, I'd lie in bed and draw Disney things.
Yeah.
So I belong here, huh? Yeah.
Puppets when he was a kid. And
throughout these, all the preliminary things before they did the audio animatronic dolls or the costumes to wear around.
Those ones.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're going to build audio animatronic robots of these men.
Mm-hmm. Had you come through here or been here when you wrote the Tyrannosaurus Rex, where they're working with the latex models?
No, that's Ray Harryhausen has been my best friend since I was 17.
He was instrumental.
Yeah, and he did a thing of my face with latex when I was 17. And then he was best man at my wedding. That's 30 years ago. So we follow each other along. And
have you seen his newest yet?
No, I hope to soon. No, I wrote that story about Ray. That's his story, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And producer treated both of us shabbily. And I got to thinking about that son of a bitch. And I thought, well, I'll write this story about how Ray changes the face of the Tyrannosaurus to look like the producer.
Yeah.
And it's Hal Chester. I don't know if Hal knows. Hal came up to me at a preview about 2 years ago. I hadn't seen him in 25 years. He goes, "Hey man, boy, it's good to see you." And I said, "Hal, you forget, I hate you." He thought I was joking, of course. Well, he's semi. You know, it's been too many years.
Yeah.
You can't hate forever.
And probably screwed so many people.
Yeah. Aren't these great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. From the show, American Show.
Yeah.
That's really a delightful thing. You know, that medieval thing of moving the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, he's got the armature there.
Are all the projects going to end up in Florida?
Do they have anything in line?
Well, the big city project will be there because it's just too huge.
Yeah,
and
space.
Then if it's successful, we hope that architects all over the world, city builders, mayors will come and say, hey, it can be done.
Yeah.
See, the thing we need in this world now, while Aaron is busy talking and saying it can't be done, is one example. I call it our Schweitzer centrifuge.
Yeah.
Yes, Schweitzer said do something.
Yeah.
Set an example. If people like it, they'll imitate it.
Mm-hmm.
And already, you know, look at when Khrushchev was here, he wanted to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right.
Hirohito was here. I saw him the day he came back from Disneyland. And he came into the hotel and he waved at me and I waved back. I thought, uh-huh, where has he been? I found out, sure, Disneyland. So. Yeah.
Wonderful places. Nice. Terrific.
I'm your biggest fan.
Hi.
You're getting used to seeing me coming through here. Hi, Doug. What are you up to?
Doug is.
Hey. This is Doug Loeffler, one of my honorary sons. I've known him forever. I saw that the other day.
Oh, wow. God,
you're wonderful.
Oh, gosh.
I'm revising the headstone.
Aren't you great?
And,
how do you have that angle?
What are you? Life would help me quite a bit.
Doug, what are you now? 19? 20?
Just turned 20.
20, yeah. There you go. He came into my life a couple of years ago and sent me some sketches, which I have in my office, along with a couple of other his crazy friends, huh? Because we're all nuts, all of us. And but you know the nuts that show up in your life that are going to make it.
Oh, huh? Sure.
This is one of them. Well, that's beautiful.
He basically has your build.
Yeah.
Is that intentional? I noticed while you were standing there like that, it's almost the same pose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you often have a tendency to do that. That's something a lot of people have to overcome. I'm one of them. But it was also sort of in the character of the
story. How did the Carpenter or whatever come to be here?
As I understand, Blaine did that for Florida, one of the shops there. Oh, uh-huh. That I guess.
Her trunk's a little bit further down than on the billboards.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's
more fun this way.
I won't go.
Yeah, okay.
We're terribly ass-oriented around here. I've discovered that over the years.
Well, any look at the Disney films reveals distinct predilection.
Oh, yeah. Great. A lot of bun jokes.
When the little nymph bends over in Fantasia and forms the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate,
yeah.
I think.
And then all the old cartoons, the flap of the nightgown always came down and back.
Yeah,
huh?
After Ichabod gets the kiss.
Well, actually,
that's what the thing got is, trouble with Shirley Temple.
When they didn't have
everything
pulled down that far, the dog's nose was like close to that looked kind of strange.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It sure is.
Oh, now, is this the same?
I just started. I'm
You're doing a large
the head after I wanted to work up from the character.
Mm-hmm. What do you call this, plasticine?
Yeah, plasticine.
And now, those figures over there that have been sitting there, have they been treated with something?
They've been cast and then painted so they look like they're still plasticine.
Oh, okay.
Because
that stuff will sag after a while or get hard or something.
No, it doesn't actually. It's well, there's a lot of the characters here that have been over the years.
Huh.
This stuff doesn't ever dry out, does it? The plastic.
No, it lasts indefinitely. It has wax and certain oil ingredients that seem to just accumulates, as you can see, the dirt and dust over a period of time. Mm-hmm.
Do each of these, are they supported with some sort of armature, or are they
self-supported? There has to be an armature in there, and what it is, what Doug is learning too, is that, well, you can't see it from the move, but I have holes drilled in there, and an aluminum armature. We use aluminum because it's non-oxidized.
Mm-hmm.
I tried all kinds of other metals years ago, and the only one I could find other than stainless steel, which is malleable. You need something that you can bend.
The animators, too, must get great value out of this because they can see characters in three dimensions, and that really helps when you're...
Well, they don't use them as much as they did. When I first came to the studio many years ago, we had a department that did all of the characters in three dimensions. And, in fact, the guy that was the head of the character design was a sculptor. His name is Joe Grant. You may remember. Very talented artist. And he okayed all of the early characters, and he had a department of sculptors working with him, and they would do, up clear through Pinocchio and Bambi, I think they did three-dimensional work. But
you've been here how long?
Since 1939.
Wow. Yeah.
What was your name? Blaine?
Blaine Gibson.
Blaine Gibson.
Yes. But... we had this austerity program right during the war, and all of this was canceled out. It never was. Most of the animators were mature enough, but they drew very three-dimensionally.
Uh-huh.
So they
could use more of that now.
Oh, we'd all like to do more, wouldn't we?
Huh? Animation. Yeah. Down.
Up I works died about the time gets by me, you know, but I imagine this year.
Yes, indeed.
Really a marvel.
Hey, Swell, thank you so
much. Thanks for your time.
Well, Doug, sure. God bless. That's just beautiful. Awesome, thank you.
This is, I don't know quite how to describe all of these figures. There's a charm to it. Oh, yeah. Captivating. Look at this.
Great.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Disneyland. There's a Captain Nemo restaurant here. He's inside of a big submarine. Isn't that beautiful? I hardly wait to eat there.
Yeah.
And they've got a big dirigible.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's a whole Captain Nemo country.
Gee,
Discovery
that's
Bay.
Work. Yeah.
Isn't that great? Oh, there's some. Yeah, this is all done by a couple of kids I watched.
Well, is there another research installation out in Florida? Or does it
no,
all come
this
from
is
here?
All here, and it's created here and sent there.
Uh-huh.
Or they send the blueprints down and build a boat there, maybe. Yeah. But the smaller things are all done here.
Yeah,
that's great. Uh-huh. They're adding to the Dumbo area, which is right next to Discovery Bay.
Yeah.
And they're doing all these things based on Dumbo and... this is the sort of dream sequence, you know, with the pink elephants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great stuff.
And look at the wonderful...
These drawings are so great, right?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. I think, what's his name? Steve Kirk did these. Looks like his work. Look how free they are, mm-hmm. and yet how funny.
Your first remark to us is very accurate. I have this disaster.
Yeah, uh-huh, oh yeah, I just come through and roll everything.
Yeah.
I'm having this Kirk boy do a three-dimensional statue like some of these.
Mm-hmm.
He did this reluctant dragon
great.
Here. Well, I'm having him make a dragon, a sea monster, with Nemo under one hand and Ahab
mm-hmm.
under the other.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I'd just like to set that up in your living room,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you? Yeah, this is lovely stuff. She makes you feel good, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, good old horse. And let's see what else we got here. Hi there. I'm doing more on Thunder Mountain here. Yeah. I was out this week. The Space Mountain is the most fantastic ride ever built. It scares the utter Jesus out of me. I won't go on it. I went on it once, and I, in the middle of the whole thing, I said, "Mother, what am I doing here? I want to go home." But it was too late. So.
There's some illusions in that haunted house there.
Sure.
Oh. When the ceiling stretches, the walls seem to stretch.
Oh, yeah.
And you see that skeleton hanging from the top in the lightning.
Yeah, oh, it's just swell.
That is.
Wow. Are these old designs too? Oh, I guess
they're yeah. I'll take you around and show you the other ride I'm working on. I'm doing two things for them. And I hope I'll do six or seven. I just love to stay here for years
mm-hmm.
and be able to walk through and say, "Hey, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that."
Did you ever dream that you would be doing something like this?
No, I always hoped, but it's a good thing I had called Walt about 14 years ago and came out and had lunch a couple times with him. And I wrote several articles, which they all liked. And so they thought of me and called me out here 7 years ago on one project. Now this is the thing I'm working on. It's going to be a right into outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And those windows will not be that way. They'll be vertically lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be 18 of them.
Oh.
See, out at Disneyland they got that Circarama.
Yeah.
Bell telephone travel across America. This will be the same except twice the number of screens.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have audiences opposing each other, so that you can look up and down into deep space. Huh? And we'll just lift the whole thing up and blast it off.
Yeah.
And visit the moon, go down to the sun, take a piece out of the sun.
Turn right at the sun.
Yeah, and then we'll go off to
straight on till morning.
Uranus and Neptune, and we'll go to Jupiter and pass the rings of Saturn. And then we're going to track a comet, put ourselves in the trail of a comet, and follow it out into the universe, trapped by it for a moment.
Oh, that's nice.
And in the long tail of the comet will be starships and spaceships from every other part of the system, and maybe out in the universe, they've been trapped by the comet, and they're carried for a billion years through the universe. And then we'll pull the two halves, audiences apart, and we'll bring the parade of dead spaceships right down,
down
between
middle?
The audiences.
Oh,
huh? And you'll be able to look in and see the dead strangers from other parts of the universe. Isn't that wild, huh?
Can you have that ready by next year?
Well, wouldn't it be great? Oh, yeah. And
that really date that McConnell trip to Mars thing.
Oh yeah, that's such a poor thing. I never liked it from the day it opened. It's much too tame. And this is gonna cost around $40 million alone to do it right.
There's more movement in the audience too, it sounds like.
Yeah, you'll have two halves.
There'll
be a giant
yourself.
Flying saucer, and there'll be a twin spaceships, and this will be Titan One and this will be Titan Two.
Mm-hmm.
And the audiences don't know that they exist to each other.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a black thing between when they come in. Then we'll put the lights down and a voice will say, Titan 1 ready for takeoff, and the lights come up on this section. Titan 2 ready for takeoff, and they come up there, and the audiences look at each other. You know they're there, huh? And then you put the two halves together, you know, and say, all right, ready for takeoff, whirl the centrifuge. And you start whirling the images, and then you go right up, and you pause by the Statue of Liberty and say, which way to the moon? And who approaches that? And you go up along her arm and head to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's your beginning. So, I'm having a ball.
Oh,
yeah. This is kind of a preliminary model of what the thing might look like on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. They're just experimenting with forms now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be preliminary museums you go through first before you come in here. And there's a big painting here.
Yeah.
Mickey, always in the act.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he's very special. If I had my way, I'd make a whole bunch of new Mickey Mouse cartoons, but drawn the way it was drawn in 1932 or 30, huh? Because he was dearer then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He got too sophisticated later.
Well, the whole world was animated in those films. Everything moved and had life and breathed.
Mm-hmm.
Cars, lampposts.
Yeah.
I miss that anthropomorphic thing. You know?
Oh, I do too. Oh, sure. Paramount just made a short they're going to release. 7-minute shorts. Yeah. Sure. Send it out. You can afford it. If you got a $20 million film, you can sure afford to send a short out with it.
Oh,
huh?
Sure.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. You used to screen every one of those cartoons from the beginning.
Yeah, I've seen almost everything. And I discovered as I went along, I remembered them all from when I was 10, 12. I'd seen every single one when I was a child.
We had a chance to screen that Milestones for Mickey, you know, those, the ones that made a different impact, something new each time,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning to the first color to
first stereo sound.
Yeah. There were about five of them, I guess. They're in one package to distribute. So.
To the schools?
Yeah, we had
it. Yeah, I should borrow some of these things and take them home. I have a 16 millimeter projector. So, and they wanted me to do some educational films for them. Which would be great. I'm doing one right now for called BFA. They're down in Venice. They're going to do one of my short stories as a 20-minute educational film.
Which one?
It's called Zero Hour.
Yeah, it's Martian Chronicle.
No, it's in one of the other collections. Story of a bunch of kids that bring creatures from another dimension through. And the parents hide in the attic, and the kid leads them up and opens the door in the attic and says, peekaboo, and
oh,
I never start.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to incorporate, or maybe you don't wish to, the Icarus Montgolfier Wright stuff into the preparation to go off into space, you know?
Oh, something like it. I've named two of my spaceships Ra and Icarus, of course, which is for going to the sun. I'm borrowing from myself all the time because I'm such a good source.
You know it best.
Mr. Humble, huh?
So you don't have to do any research.
That's right.
Again.
Well, we might as well head out.
Yeah. Now, are there massive publicity campaigns that are keeping the public informed of the step-by-step procedure here, or are things kind of being kept under wraps?
That'll come later. We have to make sure. We don't want to blow everything too soon. Yeah, it's like the space effort. It suffered a relapse partially because it was oversold by the network.
Yeah.
Too many hours, too much. We saw too much. It was all dry fact and not enough imagination.
Yeah. Are you in every day or?
Oh, about 2 days a week. But you just arrived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going over to Tucson for that thing that's there this weekend, by any chance?
What is that?
Some sort of fantasy convention. I don't know.
I didn't know about
that. The same faces pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
You've got to stay away from some of them because people are going to say, oh my God, there he is again.
Our problem is out in Kansas City. It's harder to get out there. You're still not flying, I think.
Not yet.
Yeah. It's harder to get the transportation angle worked out.
Yeah.
I've been to enough of those conventions that I think there is a case of overkill with some of the people.
My office here.
Your own office.
Yeah. Let me make a fast call.
Okay.
Maybe I can get a lift with you. I have to go over to the Disney studio. Oh. Could you drop me over there? All right. Let me just make a fast call.
Imagine how that's transforming Florida.
Yeah.
The whole Florida economic situation, everything out there in Florida must just be turning handsprings in eight directions at once.
I guess they're almost done. I see. All right, I'll check back with you on Wednesday. Oh, I have to be out of town, unfortunately. God, I have a horrible feeling I'm going to miss out. Yeah. I'll call you back wherever I am, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll call back then. Thank you. Bye-bye. They're working off the lot. So maybe I could hitch a ride over into Hollywood with you. Is that possible? Sure. Are you heading back that way?
Yeah, I'm getting back
there. Oh, wonderful. All right. Oh, I bumped old John. Oh, Ray, let's not be elephant.
No,
come on, Ray. Gonna take you down the ocean and teach you to skin dive. The ocean is green and Ray is yellow.
Take it to Ireland.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, oh, this one was one that we made for 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that story.
Can you tell about the phony telegram?
That really happened. Oh, God. I put that telegram on the floor and I jumped up and down that. Right, fuck it. In the middle of all that, I looked over and John's rolling on the floor with laughter. And I looked at him and said, you son of a bitch. Oh, in the middle of Moby Dick, I'd done about 50, 60 pages of screenplay, turned it in, sent back to Warner Brothers. And we got a cable one day from Jack Warner saying, have red script, but insist that strong woman's part be written in before we proceed, or else we cancel the film, something like that. Signed Jack Warner. And I just flung it down and jumped on it. My first John Summit.
They tried that once with the John Barrymore versions, and it's been pretty disastrous there. Let's see.
I'm gonna put his bag back
Stan, there. You and I can get in the back, I think. Okay?
Yeah. Put your bag right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Put the two skinny guys in the back.
Yeah.
Sure.
Can we get back right? Keep your hands to yourself, John.
Well, holding everything up. Not hard.
What'd you put down the back?
Oh, these records.
Put these down. Put these in the back, propped up against the
portfolio. We
small, but not even worse.
Well, for the time being, at least. Okay. Yeah, for the time being.
What's it in the back?
Houston must be such a character. His films are just so good. Yeah, he's done a lot of nice ones. And.
Did you ever see that film documentary on him, Ray? Where most of it's footage about when he directed that opera over in Italy.
Oh yeah.
Houston directed an opera.
Yeah. It's really interesting the way the actors could not relate to him the way he directed it.
I would go straight ahead a ways, and then down at another signal, we can cut over to the Golden State Freeway, take it over to Los Feliz.
Yeah, and just. Take that down to Western. That's the way we came
around. That sounds familiar. I don't think the opera got very good reviews.
No, I don't think John is made for the stage.
No, he's
such a real film man.
I think he was burned in the.
We don't really have any
newspapers.
No. A drunken fool.